Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Is he sorry? Is he not sorry? The world may never know, but we do know that Deshaun Watson is suspended 11 games, fined $5 million. That is what the NFL and the NFLPA agreed on upon Peter C. Harvey's what would have been his ruling. And, of course, the recommendation from Sue L. Robinson had been 6 games, so it was a 5-game bump up. Fellas, I think the fans are going to be filling the stands December 4th as the Texans host Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
Yeah, it's going to be crowded. It's going to be super crowded. I think it'll be probably the only time all season that the stadium is fully packed, assuming the Texans don't actually.
You said it best. It's going to be their Super Bowl.
It is their Super Bowl. Let's embrace it, you know? And on this F Deshaun Day, freedom from Deshaun Day. No, I'm not saying F Deshaun.
Do you want to start the hashtag?
I don't want to get canceled for saying F Deshaun, because I could probably be canceled for that, given how 2022 works. I don't know. I'm just a simple sports talk radio host. I don't understand the nuance of the internet.
You'll definitely get a tweet from Quincy Avery and David Mugabe.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I wasn't able to get to that in the last time
the
we talked about
brigade
this.
For Deshaun Watson.
It was pretty incredible, because here's the thing. The only thing that they have to do on a day like this is shut up, right? Because they ended up getting not what they wanted, because they all genuinely thought Deshaun shouldn't be suspended. That's their opinion. That's their right to feel that way. But it's over, right? David Mulugeta tweeted and then deleted this. To be clear, Judge Robinson repeated the NFL's narrative. She received a brief from the NFL weeks before we had the opportunity to talk to her. In our first call with the judge, she referred to, quote, Deshaun's pattern of behavior. Her mind was made up before we ever presented a counter. Well, do you think Sue L. Robinson knew about this, David? Maybe because it was like one of the biggest stories in America? Mm-hmm. Like not only on sports news, but the nightly NBC news. I mean, it's crazy.
That he said it was a narrative.
Narrative, yeah.
Too? Actually, it's narratives, because we're talking about 20-plus accusers against Deshaun Watson. I actually retweeted it, trying to correct him, and he deleted it right after.
The NFL's narrative also. Like, yeah. Like it was the NFL's narrative instead of the women that accused him. But here's the thing. Last weekend, Deshaun said he was sorry. He told Aditi Kinkabwala, I am sorry to all the people I've affected. Yesterday was a little different. Here's Deshaun on the settlement and what it means as far as guilt goes.
Yeah, I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like the person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
We proved that. On the legal side.
I mean, I don't know that they proved it. He wasn't indicted by two grand juries. To his credit, I mean, that's a legitimate thing.
But it doesn't prove innocence.
Right.
And listening to him talk there, and he says the same things over and over and over again. He says, stand on my innocence. And I watched this whole press conference with Nessa, and I, like, put all of the clips together.
You did.
Watson.
You have a couple of impressive – at Gallant says on Twitter. He has a couple of impressive montages.
I got to put that one out where he keeps on saying, stand on my innocence. But here's Deshaun Watson, like, explaining why he was apologizing.
What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered. Well, I apologized beforehand. I think the second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized. But I think for some people, it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation, because it's it's definitely a tough situation. I feel like through this whole process, we've been trying to tell my side of the story, but a lot of people wasn't able to, or didn't really pay too much attention to it. But one day we will. Only time will tell. And you know, like I said before, I just continue to keep being the person I am, keep showing the community how good of a human being I am. I've always been, how I was raised, and I just want to continue to show that and, you know, keep pushing forward.
He apologized to the whole world. He said, I apologize to everybody affected by this, including
for
you
what?
Guys. Don't apologize to the media. Why are you apologizing? It just, it went from, like, we all know those people that cannot properly apologize. I broke up with a guy partially over this because it was like, if you can't intelligently say, I'm sorry that I did X, Y, and Z. I understand he's maintaining his innocence. Totally understand that. So that does present a tricky scenario for him. But saying I apologize to anyone and everyone affected by this, like, why not apologize to the women at least that you made uncomfortable? You don't have to say that you assaulted anybody, but at least apologize for making them and putting them in a really tough spot.
I'm with you. It was a terrible apology, but he's really apologizing. He's basically saying, look, he's kind of pulling a Donald Trump here. I'm sorry you're a snowflake. He's not saying it, but he's basically saying,
sorry you were triggered.
I'm sorry for the people who were triggered. And at the very end of that clip, you heard him say, move forward. He has been saying move forward so much this offseason. So here's another just compilation, Vanessa, of all the times that Deshaun Watson has said move forward just yesterday.
And I'm looking forward to just moving forward with my career and being able to get back on the field as soon as possible. But, that's the plan, is to continue to grow as a person and individual and keep pushing forward. I'm going to have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. You just have to be able to move forward, and that's the plan. You know, I have to be able to move forward with my career, move forward with my family, with my personal life and everything. Like I said, I have to continue to move forward with my life and with my career. And, things happen on the legal side that you got to continue to just keep pushing forward and moving. Well, I have to do what's best for Deshaun Watson at the end of the day. And I know what happened. I was in those situations, but I have to continue to push forward and keep moving forward. You know, I just have to continue to push forward as a person, as an individual. And, that's it. And we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person. Like I said before, I just continue to keep being the person I am, keep showing the community how good of a human being I am. I've always been, how I was raised. And I just want to continue to show that and, you know, keep pushing forward.
I mean, it was like a minute.
Yeah, he's focused on the future. He's definitely not taking any accountability. And like I said, if he's trying to prove his innocence, I understand that he's not going to admit to these things. Second chances were a hot topic yesterday, too. Jimmy Haslam brought up second chances and the fact that he thinks Deshaun deserves pretty much a clean break. Here's the owner of the Browns on this situation.
In this country, and hopefully in the world, people deserve second chances, okay? I really think that. And I struggle a little bit. Is he never supposed to play again? Is he never supposed to be part of society? Does he get no chance to rehabilitate himself? And that's what we're going to do, okay? And you could say, well, that's because he's a star quarterback. Well, of course. But if he was Joe Smith, he wouldn't be on the headlines every day. So we think people deserve a second chance. We gave Kareem Hunt a second chance, okay? And that's worked out pretty well, okay? We're hoping this will work out, and we have strong belief it will. That doesn't mean we don't have empathy for people affected, and we will continue to do so. But we strongly believe people deserve a second chance. We believe Deshaun Watson deserves a second chance.
I'm not sure why he had to bring Kareem Hunt into this, who also allegedly did things to a woman and mistreated women. I mean, I'm not sure why he felt the need to bring Kareem Hunt into this. That was just incredibly awkward.
But that's the second chances, okay? You just don't get it. It's like an American tradition.
I think America is willing to give second chances to people that fall on the sword and say that they've done something wrong. The Haslams could have alleviated the entire press conference by just putting out a statement saying, Deshaun Watson is really good at football, and we need a quarterback right now. Because that's the truth.
I agree.
They didn't need to talk about counseling, because if he didn't do anything wrong, as he says, he doesn't need to get counseling because he didn't do anything wrong. All of the talk about second chances, all of the talk about, well, we did our research. Don't say any of that. Just say Deshaun Watson is good at football and we need a quarterback, because that's the long and the short. It's business. I think people would respect that more. Think, okay, we're going to donate money to women's this, that. We're going to get him counseling, even though we say he didn't do anything wrong. We're going to get him therapy. Just Deshaun Watson is good at football, and we need a quarterback. They didn't even need to have a press conference. I mean, truthfully.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they did. You know, shoot, we're almost done talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm really excited about it. This is perhaps the last great part of the press conference, Vanessa. Because, like, what you said right there, they're in a weird spot, the Haslams, because they're, like, saying Watson did something, but they're not saying what Watson did, and Watson's saying he's innocent. So when they were asked about that, like, both Jimmy and Dee Haslam, like, they were trying to do essentially a duet. Imagine two drunk people doing karaoke.
Yeah, she kept interrupting him.
So this is the Haslams trying to explain.
It was incredibly odd. It was incredibly. Are we playing?
Seven? Oh yeah, yeah. I was hoping we could play cut number three here. This is the Haslams explaining it.
Jimmy, what was the basis for saying in a statement the other day that Deshaun was remorseful when he continues to say he didn't do anything wrong, and then on top of that, Robinson said that she found that he'd show no remorse or little remorse in her investigation and assessment of what happened.
So, Jake, what's the question?
What makes you say that he's remorseful?
Well, I mean, because we're around him every day, and he said he's remorseful.
He didn't say that until just the day of that Jacksonville.
You know, I think I said it pretty well, is that this counseling is a process, and it's going to take some time for him, the layers and the layers upon getting there. And we feel like he's making progress, and with us, we have seen that.
And well, let me say one other thing, too. He was also involved in civil litigation during that time period too, okay? And so a lot of what held Deshaun back was he was counseled by his attorneys not to say anything, okay?
I love it.
Yeah, very awkward. Very awkward press conference. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk about the Astros. Look at their future schedule and where they stand right now. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, people. Look, we're all looking to make money somehow. Well, why not do it in real estate? With a full-service real estate investment firm. That's what the PIN process is, a five-year plan. You sit down with a portfolio advisor and go over your long-term goals, how to execute them through real estate investments. These guys are licensed professionals that do the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. They also do the construction for you. They do everything for you. 20-plus years of experience in construction, in fixing houses, and you get to see daily updates with pictures on the app of your property. Once the construction is complete, they find tenants for you. Look at that. And they do the property management. You own the house. They do everything else. So, I mean, why not talk with the Passive Investor Network so that you can passively achieve these long-term goals through real estate investment? Visit their website today. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Sit down. Talk with them. I mean, shoot, you don't know what you can do until you actually talk with them. PassiveInvestor.net again. Schedule that free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, you are listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. And the Astros getting quite the dominant win last night over the White Sox in Chicago. 21-5 was the final score. 21 runs, 25 hits, 6 RBI. This was a great team win. Really, Alex Bregman kind of the hero of this game.
Yeah, he killed it. And to see him do this is really big just because of the slump that Yordan Alvarez has been in. You need to have somebody that I think has this kind of fear that he inspires in the other team. And, yeah, this is one of those nights. It's been now a bit of a regular occurrence, not the 6 RBIs, the 2 home runs, but he has been really playing well of late, and it's a damn good time to start playing well. I mean, this is exactly when you want your players playing at their absolute best. So hopefully this hot streak that he is in can last for the next 2-3 months or so.
He didn't look like himself for a really long time. You could tell he felt awkward. I don't know if Alex Cintron worked with him on a swing or something, but the Astros appropriately calling it Big Dad Energy because ever since he had his baby, Knox Samuel, shout out to the little baby, Alex Bregman is now a dad and he's playing a lot better. Last night was 4-for-6, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, and 4 runs. And according to the Astros, he's the first Astro ever to record 2 doubles and 2 homers in a game.
And shout out to Alex Cintron in that game because he got ejected like right out of the right. gate because of a BS pitch.
That's right.
To Bregman. It was so low. I can't believe that they called that a strike. And I mean, you want to find a way to unemploy umpires who are already up Bleeps Creek this week and released a public like passive aggressive statement about how they're bleeping up a lot of calls at home plate. This is another like strike against literal against umpires. That was a terrible call. I think it's always funny too when a guy in the dugout gets ejected. Like it's one thing if it's like a player or a manager.
He's super fiery though. Remember, yeah. He's the one that got the 20-game suspension for the thing with Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
was the longest suspension ever for like a bench coach, I think.
What a legend to so get I'm not suspended
a,
for that.
I actually kind of like the fieriness, but I do know that, yeah, I forgot he got ejected. Man, that was a long game yesterday. I do think it's good to have guys on the staff like that that care. But yeah, you can tell that he's been doing something with some of these guys. And I don't know, maybe that's part of having an older veteran team is that you're going to have guys like Jose Altuve who, you know, hit these slumps. Yordan is concerning to me, though. The Yordan yeah. slump you're talking about, I mean, you brought it up when you brought it up yesterday that this is a guy that was in the MVP conversation for the first half of the season. Paul, like, I almost forgot that that was a thing
yeah.
because he's just been so quiet lately.
Right. The numbers, I mean, and look, the numbers are still really impressive, but they're definitely no longer the numbers that are someone that's worthy of MVP talk, you know, has. But look, if the other guys around him are stepping up, I feel good. And, you know, it does make me think about the best way to potentially manage Alvarez going forward. Look, it's not like he had a bad night yesterday. He did get a hit, but he did strike out, and he had a double, but he did strike out a couple of times. I don't want to read too much into it. He seems like he is fine. So I think that's the good thing, is that it's not necessarily the wrist injury, and you're just hoping that, again, it's not that it's just the wrist, because if it is something, that it's not the wrist. Because if it is the wrist, then like, yeah, Bregman's.
Well, we never know with the Astros. The inflammation with Yordan, it knocked him out for a couple of games. Then he came back, and then member Dusty said that he needed a few more days. So we never really know. They're very secretive about injuries, as they were private with everything involving Michael Brantley. But they put a whooping on Lucas Giolito. I actually kind of felt really bad for him last night.
Anti-Italian discrimination.
And it was a historic night, actually, for both teams. I read this in a Chicago newspaper this morning. The White Sox allowed at least 21 runs for only the 8th time in franchise history, and the first time since August 30th, 1970.
Oh, damn.
The 21 runs are one shy of the club record 22 allowed on 1931 in 1931 against the Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig Yankees.
Oh, damn, that was a good team. I didn't know that was possible to score that many runs back then.
Yeah, that's 22.
Holy smokes.
That's
okay.
Back when the guys looked like they ate like hot dogs and tenderloins.
Yeah, I mean, God, the indigestion that Babe Ruth must have had, just based off of all the stories you hear about him, because he was eating hot dogs, he was drinking beer. I mean, who doesn't? But like,
guy had to have some sort of like Crohn's disease when he died. Just something really nasty.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it.
The physical specimen of baseball has changed over time. When you
has
look
it?
Back,
I don't know. They're all kind of like. There's still, you could still be a big guy and succeed in the sport.
You still can, but don't you think it's a little bit more rare?
Yeah, the difference is that like Daniel Vogelbach, the guy yeah. on the Mets, isn't hitting 700 home runs.
Right,
that's true.
The funny guy on the Mets, like there's a gif when he like has to run the bases every night.
It's so mean, and I know that he probably doesn't get on the internet, and he probably doesn't care.
He plays my milkshake. Brings all the boys to the yard as his walk-up song. So he's embraced it. I'll give him credit for that.
That's better than the horns for Diaz. I'm kidding. The horns are great. But yeah, the physical specimen, when you look at Babe Ruth and those guys, you wonder how they hit that hard.
I just wonder how they didn't die when they were like 35.
True. How old?
Like pretty much for any player that played back then.
Unfortunately, Lou Gehrig died young. But What? How old was Babe Ruth when he died?
I think he's in his 40s.
Thinking the exact same thing.
I think he's in his late 40s. I read about this. I
have to do math. Hold on.
So was it
53?
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah.
So maybe it did catch up with him.
Crazy story.
You met Babe Ruth?
No. My great-grandfather was at the same orphanage in Baltimore as him. And,
what?
And Babe Ruth made him buy him cigarettes like 5 times.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say they're both orphans at the orphanage.
Well, Babe Ruth, his parents didn't die, but they dropped him off at the orphanage. And with my great-grandparent, we're like not 100% sure because, like, you know, a lot of people were just – there are a lot of Irish –
immigrants?
Yeah, there are a lot of Irish people just getting on boats back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he was at the same orphanage as Babe Ruth back in the day. I think it was, St. Mary's?
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's actually a very specific story that's really cool.
Is Babe Ruth the greatest orphan of all time?
I think so. They just gave him up, but he was a little bastard.
What
apparently.
A miss by those parents.
Yeah.
How old was it? How old was the cigarette interaction?
I mean, back then, like, kids were smoking when they were 9.
That's
so
insane.
Probably not that old.
God.
It's pretty funny.
Couple
you know,
heaters at age 9.
Just ripping darts. I heard some, I was listening to some podcast the other day, and he was just talking about how, like, intimidated, the host felt really intimidated by seeing, like, a 10-year-old smoking a cigarette in Europe. And he was, like, gesturing, like very decisively towards
that
other people.
That would be scary.
Yeah. Not as scary as, like, the kids at Venice Beach who skateboard, but those kids.
Are those kids scary?
They're so cool.
Oh,
like they're impossibly cool.
Paul will never take a date to Venice Beach.
Wait, how old are these kids that you're intimidated by?
They're like 9. They're like doing like Tony Hawk stuff
Mr.
on that
Steal Your
skate
Girl.
Park.
If they're awesome, because I used to skateboard.
You did?
No, oh.
That's a brag. I know.
We're learning new things about all of us on this Friday.
Yes, but I did not feel like I was intimidating any of the adults. I felt like I was in their way.
Really? Oh, yeah. See, that's because you're nice. Physical specimen. Speaking of guys that are really good at what they do, Mancini might be on not be on Babe Ruth's level, but Mancini has been on fire, and he started things off last night with a homer. It seems like every game he starts, he does really well.
Yeah,
do
he
you
does.
Think this earns him a spot in the regular lineup?
I think our caller Matt, who called in about an hour ago,
legendary call by the way,
said it perfectly. The lineup that you had last night is your ideal lineup. It means Chaz McCormick is in center field. It means Christian Vasquez is behind the plate. And you go back and forth between Mancini and Yordan Alvarez in left field, especially with your home games that you have. And also, again, you know, Gurriel, his average has actually jumped up a lot over the last couple of weeks. Like, he's now hitting 248, which is pretty surprising. Maybe he's someone that you also insert in, like, a sort of three-man rotation where, I mean, look, in the case of Alvarez, do you want him running out there every single
right.
day when you're not 100% sure about, like, the wrist? Do you want a Yuli Gurriel out there every single day when he's 38 years old? Things you got to
consider. He's 38.
He's 38.
I didn't know he was 38.
It's weird because he came from Cuba. And
that's
you don't really think about it because he came and you're like, oh, he's making his major league debut.
And he's the older Gurriel, right?
Yes.
Yes. And he was like a 30, well, I can do the math. He was a, what, 34-year-old rookie?
Yes. That's I knew he was in his 30s, but I guess I thought he was like 30 when he was a rookie. That's crazy. 38 years old.
He's been doing well. Like, I mean, he's got a, let me count this right. He's got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game hit streak going on. Kyle Tucker has a long hit streak going too. So, I mean, guys are hitting.
True.
Guys are hitting, and that makes you feel good. A night like last night, I hope that you can like capture that and somehow just keep it going forward. Easier said than done, of course.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk about more news around the NFL, including a franchise that is once again in some hot water. That's next.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're debating on who the greatest orphan is upon our conversation that Babe Ruth was in an orphanage with Paul's great-grandfather?
Yes. Great-grandfather brought him darts, cigarettes.
Somebody said it was Batman.
Batman, yeah.
Little Orphan Annie got a lot of play. I mean, there's been musicals, movies, kind of a cultural phenomenon.
I would say she's not as big of a cultural phenomenon as the Batman.
As Batman, true.
I think Shirley Temple was bigger than Annie.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandma has all those Shirley Temple movies, and she had a drink named after her.
This is true. We're really pandering, by the way, to our adult plus audience.
Yeah, the greatest. Right now.
Who's the fucking Babe Ruth and Shirley Temple?
Who's the greatest orphan? the Washington Commanders, not the greatest football team. It seems like not only are they a bad product on the field, but off the field, they've had a lot of issues as well. Tom Pelissero. And look, if this happened to another franchise, I don't even know that I would care. But the fact that it's another thing for the Commanders, they had to suspend their athletic trainer, Ryan Vermilion, indefinitely and launch a joint investigation because he was allegedly providing painkillers to players without a prescription on a number of occasions. That's I don't know what that means. Hey, you need a Vicodin? Here you go. Here's a whole bottle full.
Wait. And by the way, wait a second. We're mad about this? Hasn't this been going on for, decades in the NFL? I mean, they just hand you pills. You don't even know what you're taking, I would imagine. Have you, Vanessa, seen North Dallas 40?
I have not.
Okay. It's like an old football movie with Nick Nolte in it. And I mean, the pills that they are taking in this movie, the injections they are getting. Like, back then, I think football was that barbaric. We're really going to get this guy in trouble? They are doing such an incredible job of creating new Fall Guys to distract from Daniel Snyder just being a giant piece of turd.
You think that this is the NFL bringing this up?
Good. You know what? That is a good question.
Because,
I don't know.
Because I agree with you. I'm just
Snyder
wondering
too.
If we put our tinfoil hats on, who would be the one that would benefit the most from this coming out?
Well,
would
Snyder.
Would it be Roger Goodell?
Snyder, definitely. Actually, but in a way, this is a reflection of Snyder. So maybe it's the other NFL owners, on one hand, finding a way to distract from Snyder. But on the other hand, it might be the other NFL owners trying to build more of a case.
Right.
To show that Daniel Snyder needs to go. But, man, I think they're all terrified to press that nuclear button.
It's weird because it sounds like they don't like each other, but it's very protect the shield. It's very... Mm-hmm.
And protect each other.
Protect each other because we all know that we have ghosts in our closet or whatever they say. Skeletons? Ghosts? Which one is it they have?
Skeletons.
Skeletons in their closet.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul. And it's almost like they want to just, protect each other from that. But we'll see what happens there. If it matches anything else in the NFL, it won't be that much.
Rating at the Orange Grove.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Oh, that's a Skull and Bones thing.
There you go. Happy Halloween.
There's a little Alex Jones stuff there.
In other NFL news, according to reporters in Carolina, Houston Roughnecks legend P.J. Walker will get the start in their second preseason game versus the Patriots. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold will not play, so it will be P.J. Walker, and then they want to see what they have with Matt Corral, the rookie.
Yeah, why isn't P.J. Walker starting?
Like in general on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Give him a shot.
I don't know. I feel like there's a little racism going on there, you know? I mean, I'm just kidding. That is cool that he's starting. Man, I miss the Roughnecks. I think it's BS that we had no Roughnecks. We had the fake Gamblers playing in Birmingham instead.
Well, there
spring.
Were six games and they were the only undefeated. I remember in Houston, it was like, this is the team. They are undefeated. And then the season got canceled due to COVID.
The only time that I have ever enjoyed watching semi-pro football was when I was here in town visiting from Seattle for the rodeo cook-off and for my buddy Sean Pendergast's wedding. I
love Sean.
Went on Sunday, right before going to the airport, to Bobcat Teddy's, and people were losing their minds over the Roughnecks to the point where there were people in the bar starting a drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill chant. It was the funniest thing ever, and there really seemed to be a super fun atmosphere around going to Roughneck games. P.J. Walker should never be forgotten as one of the best quarterbacks in Houston history in a city that has not exactly had the best quarterback history.
Very true.
Yeah, I went to the inaugural game against the L.A. Wildcats in, I want to say February 2020.
You get blitzed, bro?
Yeah, but it, no lie, probably was a top five live football experience for me. And that's not saying a lot because a lot of that's Texans.
I was going to say, because you grew up, yeah.
But it was legitimately a very fun experience. I can't really explain because it was a little bit of a collegiate crowd or a collegiate style crowd where everyone's rowdy and having fun. But then, the football is actually pretty good. And they did, a lot of fun, giveaways. It was just a looser vibe than going to a Texans game, you know?
Yeah. And it's a more intimate stadium.
It was at U of H stadium.
You know what it reminded me of when I would go to the Roughnecks games? AAA baseball. Because it's like you know some of the players and you know a little bit of their history and they're trying to make it to the next level. They all still have NFL dreams. So it's like quality enough. But it's not so expensive and not so quality that it feels like a formal event.
And the team itself and the league itself isn't taking itself that seriously,
correct,
too. So there's an air of like, hey, we can just have fun here. Like, we can do cup snakes and, like, not just the fans are doing
cup snakes,
but it becomes like an XFL thing where at different stadiums now they're doing, like, they lean into the fun stuff. Or if that happened at, like, NRG, they would like bat away from them.
At a Cubs game, it happens all the time.
Yeah,
people
just
will
take
stop
the
cup stacking. I'm guessing, Vanessa, you went to AAA. What was it? Indianapolis?
Yeah,
Indians?
I worked as their announcer. Brag. Indians fans on your feet. I don't know if I can say that anymore.
No, that's racist. No.
Did you do a tomahawk chop or something?
Definitely. They had to have done it.
Here's the thing. First of all, the Indianapolis Indians gear was sick. And then the second thing is that it's the Pittsburgh Pirates AAA affiliate. So there actually were a couple good guys that came up through there. But yeah, I loved some Indianapolis Indians games. Best ballpark in AAA, by the way.
Really?
Rated. Yeah. But I love the AAA experience. And I think that's what XFL kind of brought to Houston at a time when the football team was so bad.
And to like move it forward to it's next year's XFL, right? It's 2023.
Right.
I'm a little worried that The Rock is not going to be as leaning into the absurdity. I'm a little bit worried because The Rock is someone who takes himself pretty seriously.
He does.
I mean, I'm just judging off of the contracts he signs with the Fast and Furious movies where he can't lose a fight in the movie.
But that's everyone. That's Vin Diesel. That's Jason Statham.
I also think Vin Diesel will run a crappy football league.
Well, I think that The Rock, having been in wrestling, understands show business a little more than, no offense, one of my heroes, Vin Diesel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Vince McMahon. I was going to say Vince McMahon invented wrestling.
You know, I never watched wrestling ever growing up. I pretended to because my friends liked wrestling in elementary school.
Not my thing.
I was like, yeah, I like The Undertaker. But I didn't know like anything about
it. Is wrestling one of those things to where you either love it or you hate it?
Yes.
I think there's love it, hate it, or like absolutely or no exposure.
I don't hate it. I just don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
The opposite of the XFL, which is something you can very casually like. Mm-hmm. You pop into XFL games, you spot a couple names that you know, and you know what? It worked out for PJ Walker. Good for him.
Look at this PJ Walker conversation we just had.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Somehow, did we incorporate Batman and Little Orphan Annie? Maybe.
We did.
This really goes to show how much of a success the 2020 XFL was.
Yeah.
That 2 years later, we're still like, we all have memories of it.
You know what was really sad is the day that it shut down, I was working for a local news station at the time, and we had to go do this story, and I had to interview the guys that just found out that their season had ended. And so many of them were like, yeah, I really felt like I was like on the cusp of something of a breakout year, because they all still have NFL dreams. But for PJ, it worked out.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
I never felt as excited for the Gamblers because they were not in Houston.
I was because of the USFL history. I mean, Jim Kelly is technically the greatest quarterback to ever play in Houston. Although I guess it's between him and Warren Moon with the Oilers. Because Kelly was only there for a little bit.
Andre Ware,
far
as college.
Cougs.
Heisman.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it was such a long time ago. Like, the only thing that was cool about, like, the Gamblers and that whole USFL experience was, like, the uniforms and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of hard to recapture something that was cool in the 80s, especially if you have no crowd at the game.
Very true. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, I'd like to hear a song that Paul wrote.
Oh, no.
I'd like to hear that, and then, of course, we're going to have our world-famous Garbage Time segment. That's coming up.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, the Yankees are in a weird spot. They were known as the best team in baseball, but
lately,
the last month has not been good to them.
No.
And for that, we bring in a Yankees Watch.
Oh, no.
Special edition.
Sorry in advance.
Yankees
with Paul
Watch.
Yankees!
2022.
Sorry. So sorry. Gotta field a little bit. You know? Let's get into it. Five. Start pounding some booze. You lost to the Jays. You smell just like a pile of... I can't say it on the radio. In old New York. Your bleacher bum blues aren't going away. So go throw a bottle at a kid, cause you're Bronx trash in New York. I wanna wake up in a city stuck in 2017. Remember Aroldis Chapman smiling? I guess I'm sorry, that was kind of mean. Keep ringing those boos. $270 million ablaze. So much for that historic start of it. You pores in New York. They're gonna lose it there. They're losing. Everywhere. Go get your shine box. New York. New York. Okay. I felt weird. I felt like that was extended. Too long.
It is hilarious.
Thank you for laughing at me. I'm sorry for everybody that had to deal with that.
That was very funny. Just so everybody knows, I saw at the bottom of our rundown earlier in the show that he had written this thoughtful song, and I thought we need to air it out.
Here's what's really funny, and Sean and I talked about this yesterday, because I went to bed late on Wednesday night after the Yankees fell down to the Rays, and I was like, okay, I get to put this song in tomorrow. I woke up the next day, and I'm like, I can't wait to do this song. And then I found out that the Yankees won. And I was like, ah, damn it, I can't do it. I'm going to have to change the whole song somehow, because I said, like, you lost to the Rays. But then Sean told me, well, guess what? They play the Blue Jays next, which also rhymes.
Sean, you are so smart.
I mean, my thought was just, what teams rhyme with Rays? And I was, oh, the
one.
Blue Jays, they're in the same division. And then I looked at their schedule. They played the next day. So,
hell yeah.
And shout out to George Springer being a part of last night's beatdown. They won 9-2.
Yes, I bet they're not booing him anymore there.
Were they booing him?
Yeah, they did at first. But you know what?
Those disgusting Canadian bastards.
It's the effect that the Astros have. Once they go somewhere, everybody loves them. All right, it's time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So, Paul brought this story to my attention a couple of days ago. Pete Davidson apparently isn't the only SNL alum with BDE. And if you don't know what that means, ask your teenage children. During a recent podcast, actress Rachel Bilson was asked what she missed the most about her ex, Bill Hader. She said, his big bleep. We can keep that cut and let's move on.
By the way,
whoa,
she's dating someone else.
Right.
So imagine you're the new boyfriend of Rachel Bilson, who is openly thinking about Bill Hader's Bill Hader while on
Little
a
Bill.
Podcast.
Little Bill, the show by Bill Cosby.
Remember the
Big Bill.
Yeah. Big Bill. Bill Sr.
Remember the Yankees fan club? And wow, really riding the Yankees hard this segment. But the Yankees fan clip where, like, the girlfriend was like, it was something about, like, getting back with her ex.
Yes,
and she was
I remember.
Yes, I would.
Right. A couple months ago.
It's very similar. Okay, so if you're a guy, you guys are guys, I'm not.
Yeah.
And you hear your girlfriend, current girlfriend, say that she misses her ex's big you-know-what. What
don't
do you
love
do?
It. Don't.
You have to be secure, though. You have to be secure and act like you and be like, yeah, whatever, you know?
So you're not mad at the woman for saying it?
I mean, I wouldn't be happy, and I would definitely be thinking about passive-aggressive ways to get back. But
right.
you can't show any weakness. You have to act like, yeah, whatever. You have to act like you don't care.
I think Paul and I are on the same page. You don't tip your hand. You're like, yeah, no big problem, whatever.
And what? He's got a big Spencer.
Yeah, yeah, lucky him. But then, I mean, it's one of the little cracks in the dam, and then
yeah,
you know, 2 months later. That's not why you break up, but no. it doesn't
it's
help.
It's never about it's the dirty dishes. Yeah. Do you just a week later just be like, oh, I miss my ex's big breast?
No. You can't do that because, that shows insecurity, too. And also would be, like, say you decided afterwards, say, it's not about the size. It's about what you do with it. Like, that also says you're insecure. You can't. You really cannot acknowledge
it. So you really just have to ignore it.
You just have to take it.
Do the Jeter, tip the cap.
Yeah.
And then keep it pushed.
Respect.
Yeah, because if I was a guy and he said he missed his ex-girlfriend's... Well, I've never had a guy say that to me because I'm good there. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things I miss my ex-girlfriend's skinny waist. I'd be like, that is a terrible thing to say.
But that's also a weird thing to say, too. I don't know. I think, like, I could maybe find myself saying, like, oh, I missed that ass, like, or something like that. But it's a weird thing. It's such a weird thing to say publicly. She's clearly trying to have some fun on this podcast and be entertaining. But yeah, that sucks for the new boyfriend, that's for sure.
It definitely does.
And good for Bill Hader.
Good for Bill Hader. I love Bill Hader, and I'm happy for Bill Hader.
Someone figure out what he's doing.
I think he's... I mean, I guess now with Barry, he gets a lot of credit, but I feel like he was really underrated at
SNL.
Like,
he was very funny.
He doesn't get lumped in with, like, the greats, and he was the great of that cast.
He and Keenan.
Yes.
Keenan Thompson.
Yeah. They were both so low-key and didn't get enough media attention, but then when you watched it, you're like, oh, they're the funniest ones.
Yeah, it's crazy that, like, Pete Davidson's the most famous SNL guy from the last 20 years, and it's like, eh.
There's
like,
a couple others.
Michael and whatever his name is that do the Weekend Update.
Colin Yost.
Not funny.
Yeah, not into
that. Not funny at all.
Che's a little bit funnier, but Jost is, like, just...
Yeah, they just did this thing where they laughed at their own jokes, and they would break character too often for it to be funny. Like the Weekend Update, you're not supposed to break character.
Hader was in Superbad. Hader was in Pineapple Express. Hader was in Knocked Up. Hader was in that LeBron James movie with Amy Schumer, which I heard was good, but no one likes Amy Schumer, so they don't like to say.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. That's right. He was in Tropic Thunder. He was a co-writer on South Park. Like,
we have got to figure out what Bill Hader is doing.
So I'm pumped for Bill Hader.
I am here. Shout out to Bill. All right.
Barry's a great show. If you haven't seen it on HBO,
I haven't.
3 seasons in, 30 minutes each episode, extremely dark comedy.
Everyone is saying it's
the
funny.
The Fonz is in it. It's great. It's really good.
I would say it's not good to bring back an extinct animal, but that is exactly what scientists are going to do. They are going to de-extinct the Tasmanian tiger.
We legitimately talked about the Tasmanian devil yesterday. We brought up the Tasmanian tiger. Someone also brought up the idea of, hey, let's not resurrect dinosaurs. Was someone listening to our show yesterday?
I don't know.
Because now they're going to resurrect the Tasmanian tiger. I don't know if I want a jungle cat to be all over the planet again. Like, those things are killing machines. Have you seen leopards going to town on, like, places in India? It's crazy.
Why is that what we're doing with our scientific resources?
I don't know. I mean, we should be flying to Mars.
Right.
So we can leave.
I don't understand.
Yeah, and also, that's my biggest thing. Like, really? What? Tasmanian tiger? That's what we're bringing back? Like, we've been talking about woolly mammoths, bringing those back since I was, like, a little kid.
Can you
imagine
how good a woolly mammoth steak is, too? Oh, my God.
Now you're thinking like a businessman. Now you're thinking like a bad guy in a Jurassic Park movie.
That's fine. I'm thinking like a hungry man. Who would not want to... I mean, shoot. Like, who hasn't thought about eating a whale? Like, I have.
Really?
You're not allowed to, but, like, I mean... It would be kind of messed up, too, because, like, whales are very smart creatures, but...
You've ate a whale?
No, it's illegal. Oh. No, you can't do that. No.
Oh.
But I've thought about it.
Like, you thought about it,
I feel like whale would probably be pretty damn tasty. There's so much fat.
I like gator.
Gator's great.
Fry it. Duck. I guess the technical name for Tasmanian devils, tigers, are thylacine. We all know how good I am with pronunciations.
This is better than...
I think you got it.
Tamo.
It's Tamo.
Tamo thylodoids or whatever.
Tamo.
So I guess in 1936, the Australian government protected one, but he died from exposure at the zoo.
Oh, he got like monkeypox or something?
Yeah. So,
no, that's
like
not
that.
An exposure.
I don't know.
I think that's like dehydration.
Oh, I figured it was just like from getting like an illness or something like that.
I love Cedar Point. Cedar Point is a great amusement park. It has amazing roller coasters. It's in Sandusky, Ohio. And it is there
a real
that a
town.
Couple. Yeah. Yeah, Cedar Point's
it's
a great
not just
amusement
from Tommy
park.
Boy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought Tommy Boy that was a fake town in Tommy
no,
Boy.
No, it's real. No, okay. It has Cedar Point. It has like some of the fastest roller coasters in the world. A couple was charged with public indecency for having sex at the Ohio amusement park.
Yeah.
Authorities said a man and a woman, both 32 years old, were observed having sexual intercourse on the giant wheel ride.
High five.
The act was witnessed by a group of four women, including two juveniles, according to a police report.
Well,
yeah, that's where the trouble starts.
The juveniles thing is a problem.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's why if you ever are wanting to get it on, you got to make sure you are not near a church, a school, a playground.
Or cops.
Or what?
Or cops.
Yes.
Well, cops,
or people's eyeballs. You just don't want to be more... From whoever's involved, that's how many eyeballs you want.
Someone I dated a long time ago once very often, like, wanted to, like, just go, like pull off on the side of the road.
Side of the road.
And go in a car. And I was always so paranoid that someone would, like, knock on the window in, like, the steamy car and see. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I feel like I missed out, though.
You would not have fit in at Woodstock 99, let me tell you. A lot of public fornication.
So there were limited places where I was from that were not within a few feet of a church or a playground or a school.
There's like one point, like that's 500 yards away from all of them.
Right, so...
That's the downfall of centralized Indianapolis.
There were...
Or Terre Haute, which I'm imagining is even more centralized.
TMO, baby.
TMO.
A Florida high school teacher was arrested for allegedly hiding a teenager who had been reported missing.
Oh.
31-year-old teacher Kelly Simpson was hiding a boy in her house for like 3 days.
That's as far as Florida headlines go, that's like a D plus.
I was going to say, you lived in Florida.
Yeah.
So this is nothing.
There's a chance she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart.
Yeah. True.
There's a chance that, like, what if his home life's messed up?
Yeah. A small chance.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, everyone who's lived in Florida has had a Florida man story that's happened, like, legitimately in their backyard. And, yes, the nice condo that I lived in, Florida man takes dump in jacuzzi.
What?
He was a serial jacuzzi dumper, yeah.
Like, that was the thing.
He did that, yeah.
He did it in people's jacuzzis.
Yeah, at some point, remind me, I will send you guys, and I will post the link of the tragedy that befell the Vinoy jacuzzi.
We've talked a lot about fetishes on this show today with everything involving Deshaun Watson, so it's only great that we close it out with one. That's a week. Vanessa and Gallant, Sean Mapes, thank you so much for hanging out. The Killer Bees are up next.
We're done talking Watson! Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.